Welcome back to Word and Table, a weekly podcast on liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship and why it is vital in our world today. I'm your host, Alex Wilgus, and I'm here as always with Father Stephen Gauthier. Welcome back, Father Stephen.
Great to be back, Father Alex.
Father Stephen is the canon theologian of the Diocese of the Upper Midwest in the Anglican Church in North America, and he is director of formation at St. Paul's House of Formation in the Greenhouse Movement. And I am rector at Redemption Anglican Church in Frisco, Texas. So, Father Stephen, let's talk about a churchy word today, maybe even the churchiest of words, and that word is blessing. No matter where you are from on the denominational spectrum, it is almost certain that you have said a blessing before dinner. You've blessed the food. Maybe someone has blessed you, or you're praying for blessings from heaven, or, you know, maybe even have been told that God wants to bless you. And we see this term, you know, there's a reason that we throw it around a lot. We see it a lot in the Bible. And in our Anglican liturgies, we, in the Book of Common Prayer, you know, blessings are a set liturgical thing. You know, there's space in the service for the priest or the bishop to give a blessing. But what exactly do we mean by this word bless? What does that word literally mean? And also, what are blessings? And how do we see this word used in the Bible? And then maybe toward the end, we can talk about, you know, what's the meaning of the different kinds of blessings that the church gives, and what does it mean to receive them? But first off, you know, where does this word blessing come from? What does it literally mean?
Okay, well, yeah, blessing is a very Bible notion. We do a lot of it, but it all goes back to the Bible, very Bible term. The actual term blessing is an English translation of a Latin word, which is a translation of a Greek word, which is a translation of a Hebrew word. So let me explain. The English translation comes from Latin benedico. Bene, you know, valdico, means to speak well, to say a good word, put in a good word. So literally, benedico means in Latin, I put in a good word.
Put in a good word with the big guy for me.
Putting in a good word, speaking a good word, literally speak a good word. And it comes from the Greek Bible, the New Testament, and the translation of the Old Testament into Greek. Eulogio is the same notion, to speak a good word. Like, that's where you get eulogy from. And, you know, say a good word about somebody at the funeral. Eulogos, eulogio is to speak a good word. Okay. But they translate terms. So the underlying term the Greek was translating, there was a much richer term in Hebrew. You know, that's what they came up with. And that's where our words actually come from in English, in from Latin, from Greek. But it actually comes back in the Hebrew scripture to a root, which itself doesn't actually, it's sort of a semantic field of ideas. It's, you know, if you knew an old Ashkenazi Jew in the old days, they called a bracha. It was a blessing. It's basically our letters for B, R, and that H, that like Bach H sound.
Oh, the CH.
You know, like that. Yeah, like CH is a sign. It's so three letters.
B, R, C, H, but the CH, that's one
right.
Part of it.
Bruch. That's right.
Okay.
And it means a blessing. And what it means, though, what that root means. Now, there's another root in Hebrew that's the same root that means something completely different that's unrelated.
Oh, okay.
That has to do with, you know, basically to kneel down or something, you know, to prostrate yourself. But this one actually has words that are connected with life and well-being. It means words that somehow are connected with life and well-being. So there are two basic meanings. One is a word that could impart or seek life and well-being. So, for example, a word that makes you fit for a task. You're blessing someone praying that they will be adequate for the task. You know, you're praying a blessing for them that's seeking, you know, seeking to be adequate for a task. Or in the case of God, it can actually make you adequate for the task. You know, God puts his blessing. Okay. And there's a special notion we have to remember that you see a lot in the Old Testament of an effective word. Words that can actually, spoken by the right person, by God or one of his prophets, actually cause things to happen. It's almost like a sacrament. They're not just wishes. I mean, they cause something to happen. So in fact, with Isaac's blessing of Jacob, remember when Esau and Jacob, when Esau comes back, he says, I can't take it back. You know, it has its own power. Once I've spoken the blessing, what I've blessed is blessed. We have the same thing with Balaam. Remember, Balaam is hired to curse Israel, and he ends up blessing Israel. And the man who had hired him is saying, "You're blessing them." And he said, "Well, I can't do anything about that." What God has blessed, God has blessed. So it could be an effective word that actually imparts something to do with life or well-being. And typically often in the context of fitting you for a task, you know, like with the death blessings, you know, here for each one of my sons, you know, here's what's going to equip you for what's coming forward. And we have a whole lot of examples of this being used in Genesis. 88 times in Genesis, we have blessings. We have blessings everywhere. Deuteronomy 55 times. But there's another very different meaning.
Well, let me stop you right there. And just so this first meaning, this is imparting or seeking life or well-being or equipping for a task. Is this some kind of appeal to God that he makes something happen, or is it like an actual giving of that thing, or is it both?
It depends on who's giving the blessing.
Okay.
When God blesses you, it happens. When one of God's prophets blesses you, or, you know, someone acting in a priestly manner, you know, blesses you, you are blessed. Hmm. It's a sure thing. It's actually a vehicle of grace, like a sacrament.
Fascinating.
Other people pray a blessing upon you. They're praying to God that this will happen. So in the Bible, it depends who's pronouncing it.
Okay. So let's move on to the second meaning then.
The second meaning is even more common after you get out of Genesis. It's the idea of a word of praise or thanks. We're really recognizing something that we've observed, some good we have observed or received. Like in the Psalms, "Lord, we bless you, you the creator." We're saying we're recognizing you. Wow, you're the creator of heaven and earth. Look at the things you've done. Blessed be the Lord, saying we're recognizing. It's a word of, a good word. You know, we're recognizing something God has done or a gift we've received. So we see that in the book of Psalms 83 times in the wisdom literature. So again, to sum it up, is you can have this root in Hebrew means it has something to do with life and well-being and speaking, good stuff, life and well-being. That's all we can say about this root in Hebrew. And so it can mean three things. It can mean either one, God or someone God appoints, authorizes, you know, gives that power to, can speak a word and make something happen. When God blesses you, you are blessed. You know what he says happens. It could be that someone is praying that God will do this for you. You know, they're praying a blessing upon you, saying, "I don't have the authority to give it to you, but I'm praying God's blessing upon you. You know, may Almighty God bless you, the Father," that kind of thing. I'm praying God's blessing upon you. And it's also simply saying we're recognizing what God has already done. We're speaking a good word, not we're looking to the future. We're looking what's already been done. Blessed are you, Lord God, heaven and earth. Look at who you are. That's right now. We're not asking for anything to happen. We're recognizing with a sense of praise and thanksgiving. We're recognizing some incredibly good thing, and where the blessing means praise and thanksgiving, especially in the book of Psalms that way.
Mm. So this is kind of a response to, in a way.
Right. So how do we respond to life and goodness? Well, God can impart it to us, you know, some specific thing, especially for tasks we're about to be entrusted with, you know, a blessing for this. We pray for people for that. It can mean that, right? And it means we recognize incredible things, God, but it all has the idea of good, you know, life, well-being.
Okay.
Now, one thing that's interesting is there's a word you might not think about, but it's related. It's the word happy. The word happy is basically what happens. We're simply making a declaration. We're not saying, "Wow, thanks, this is amazing." Or we're not saying, "I hope this will happen," or "it will happen, you know, God's going to make this happen." I'm simply saying it's already happened. I'm just noticing this. You know, I'm just making a statement. And that's why Psalm 1, "Happy is the man who walks not way in the wicked." We're simply saying that's the fact.
Okay.
So normally in a simple declarative sentence, we often will simply use happy as the substitute. And that's why when you have the Beatitudes in Matthew's gospel, sometimes they're translated happy, Makarios, happy. Otherwise, there's something blessed.
That's right.
It could be either way in that sense.
Okay. So this is basically this is a descriptive thing. This is, you know, this is describing the state of someone.
Right. So simply, it's like an indicative sentence, a plain sentence makes a statement of fact. I'm not wishing this happens. I'm saying that's a fact. Psalm 1 says, this is a fact. Someone who does this is blessed, you know, is happy. You know, this is, you know, these good things, prosperity in life, you know, life, well-being is that's a fact. Blessed is the man. He's that. That's happy is the man. Okay, then we have the implication of a blessing is a blessing involves solidarity or a bond being created. So it's the opposite of a curse. You know, we talk about in the book of Deuteronomy, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. So you're saying we're talking about, you know, words that the words of well-being in life versus words of death and separation. So very often we find blessings in the terms of a greeting. It's just a way of putting yourself immediately in solidarity. Like in many greetings, you'd have, you know, health or something, you know, salut in French means health, you know, okay. Well-being, good health to you is a common thing in languages like shalom, peace. You know, we wish something good on someone as a sign that we're trying to create a bond.
Okay. Okay. So this is, I mean, this is the same word or the same roots.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's being used in all different kinds of situations. So it's really important to note what's the context, what's the situation here.
But blessing always means there's a connection, a good connection between the one blessing and the one being blessed.
Okay, I see. I see.
The opposite is a bad word, a malediction, Latin, maledigo,
yeah.
Which is a curse saying, and I'm telling you, this is going to happen.
So does this mean that the only people or beings that can pronounce a blessing are, you know, like God and direct representatives of God? Who can give a blessing?
Well, in the Bible, we have an authoritative use, is people who are authorized to do this with authority. For example, God himself certainly can say, you're blessed. You're blessed will you be. Blessed will, you know, you're blessed will, you're, the nations of the world will bless themselves by, you know, by your offspring. God himself gives blessing. Heads of families give blessing. That's why we have the classic thing in the book of Genesis when you're giving the, basically your goodbye blessing to your children. Like Jacob's blessing, you know, that we're giving that blessing. Priests, you know, the Lord look upon you, etc., can give blessing. Kings can give, prophets can give blessings. They can speak on God's behalf. Then we have what we call the volitive. That means simply desire equals, you know, one person can wish a blessing for another. And so we pray for, may God bless you. I can't say he's doing it. You know, I say, but I pray that God will bless you. And inferiors, we can pray for the best for someone who ours are superior. May God bless you. You could say that to our bishop or something. You know, may God bless you in what's coming here. So the difference would be we still have in the prayer book. If you notice when we have a blessing in like morning prayer in the prayer book, if a priest is there, it's purported as an actual blessing. Almighty God, you know, bless you type of thing as opposed to may Almighty God bless us. You know, the idea that there's a difference between pronouncing a blessing in God's name and seeking a blessing.
Okay. So the answer is quite a lot of people pronounce blessings, but again, context is important. There's an authoritative or a guarantee of this good connection, and others are kind of petitioning for it or appealing for it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the New Testament then. Do we get any blessings in the New Testament?
A lot, especially we find them in the first three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we find them in Paul's epistles. And we find it different forms. We find the verb to bless is 41 times. We find the noun blessing 16 times. And we find the adjective, you know, blessed 8 times. And it's used in a rich sense, just as in the Hebrew Scriptures. It has all the richness of the Bible meanings we've talked about. And we have some particular use. We talk about blessed be the Father. Why? But, you know, we're recognizing because he's the creator. We recognize it. Blessed be you who've made heaven and earth. Type. Christ is the vehicle of the Father's blessings. You know, he's through all the blessings have come through him. And also the sense of giving thanks. Like, you know, he blessed the bread. He took it. You know, he took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it in the sense of recognizing God as the source. That's where we have a blessing. And that's it. We're recognizing a good thing coming from God. That's the idea of blessing before meals. We're recognizing the food comes from God.
So it's kind of like us sort of reaching up to that, or when we do it, it's kind of like us sort of reaching up and appealing or acknowledging that good connection, the good connection there.
Yeah, it's something good that God has done or is you about to do. It's recognition. When it comes to God, it's always recognition. We're just saying, this is amazing. You know, this always in the sense of something having to do with life and health, something good. Some action that's good.
So I guess, I mean, hard to sum up the use of blessing in the Bible, but we could at least say about it that this has, it always has to do with life, with well-being, with health, and it is used in the giving or granting of that, and the asking for that, in the acknowledgement of that, and where it comes from. Maybe we could just leave it at that.
Right. And especially in the last case, with connection with God himself. You say, how can we bless God? He doesn't need anything. We can't.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We can't give him anything. That we can't bless him in that sense. But we certainly can recognize his blessing. So when we say, blessed are you, Lord. Baruch atah Adonai, you know, blessed are you, Lord God. You know, and we'll say, why? Because who made heaven and earth? You know, we're saying, we recognize the good things you have done. So it's recognition of good things, of life and health, when it comes to God. For everybody else, it's either pronouncing it or petitioning it.
So let's shift to the church, specifically our liturgy. Where do we find blessings in our liturgy, and why do we include them?
Well, in our liturgy, it's always having to do with God's blessings. We're basically a public declaration of God's blessings. For example, the blessing of the water at baptism. Remember how we said we have blessing is that something that will serve its purpose? We said like a person has a task and God blesses for the task. So for example, at baptism, we bless the water. You know, may your Holy Spirit, you know, make these waters for us, this source of life. The classic thanksgiving, which is a giving thanks, which is a blessing. He blessed the bread at the Eucharist. But here we're actually praying that God will, we're asking God to do something. We're saying, we're praying that God will, in fact, you know, we're calling down God's blessing. The nuptial blessing at weddings, where we bless a new couple and we give them a special blessing for their wedding. You know, the Paschal candle, we bless the Paschal candle. You know, we say, may it serve its use. You know, please let this serve this use, this special use. Blessing of the holy oils, it's a way we set them aside and say, pray that they, every time they're used, you know, that we will see you at work. Holy water, the same thing. And certain blessings are a matter of just the bishop. For example, only a bishop can bless a new church, you know, or bless a worship space, bless altars. You know, so that's a bishop's blessing.
Okay. Yeah, so again, much like in the scriptures, a rich and wide-ranging use of blessings in the liturgy of the church. So, you know, is there a distinction in the liturgy, again, between these kind of authoritative or guaranteed blessings and those that are more like appeals or not necessarily authoritative, but appeals? Right.
Yeah, we do it. That's one of the roles of the bishop and priest. They speak authority, you know, of the blessings Christ has promised us, you know, through them. They speak authority of these blessings. Everyone else, deacons and all lay people, are always putting it very clearly in the form, I can't grant you the blessing, but we can pray together for it. May Almighty God bless us, preserve us from evil and bring us to everlasting life. As opposed to, Almighty God bless you. As opposed to may Almighty God bless us. So in the canon, an authoritative blessing typically talks about you, because you're in a liturgical role, saying Christ to his church as a priest. It's not you per se. You know, Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even the May, but you're talking about you as opposed to us.
Yeah, that's an easy little liturgical rule there, as if let's say you're not a priest and you're tasked with leading morning prayer for a group, say, you can say the words of the blessings, just to change the you to the us, just fine, and don't hold out your hand like that.
Right, also as a priest, one thing we shouldn't say is the word I, because you know, when you're doing a priestly blessing on someone, you don't bless anyone. You say, may Almighty God bless you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we don't say, I bless you in the name. No, it's the full emphasis. This is Christ's action. It's I'm not doing anything. It's the thing, you know, God, you know, Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, indeed. It's not the priest that's affecting that, but it's God that is affecting that. And the word of the priest is sort of a guarantee. It's like only the authorization that he has given to us to begin with.
We're normally, as priests, not focusing on we are simply agents. The reason we wear a uniform is to tell people this is about God. Mm. You know, it's not about us individually. And so we're focusing on the work of God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a concise and helpful definition of blessing in the liturgy and in the scriptures. So is there anything you'd leave us with, Father Stephen, on the subject of blessing?
Yeah, I think this is something, one of the richness of the Jewish life is there's a blessing for everything. Anyone seen Fiddler on the Roof? No, there's a blessing. Is there a blessing for the Tsar? Yeah, of course there is. But the idea is we're recognized, as James says, God is the giver of every good gift. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to forget that. You know, we just take these things for granted. So the idea of being aware of blessings, you know, the God's goodness, that he's the author of life and well-being. And that so we can recognize that fact by, first of all, the church conveys God's blessing, reminds us that these are gifts of God. We can seek God's blessing. Lord, we ask you to bless us now. You know, we're asking you to put your blessing for this task I have to do, etc. Put our blessing upon me, and a recognition of God, the blessings God has given us.
So this is all
Lord,
about
thank you.
This is all about appealing to, recognizing, asking for God, the connection between God and us that brings life.
Yeah, it seems to me that the hardest thing is we just so forget, we take God for granted. And this is a beautiful way that we're reminded that there's nothing automatic in this. You know, the Jewish notion, every single breath is an individual gift from God. Mm-hmm. Nothing's an automatic pilot. We never want to say, well, we know some science about the world, so we'll just treat everything like it's going to happen anyway. No, that we never forget that behind everything that happens, we have every good thing. There's God. And it's a way, that's a very powerful thing in Jewish spirituality. And maybe that's why we traditionally end our offices, the morning prayer, evening prayer, with, let us bless the Lord.
Yeah, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So let's recognize, wow, let us bless the Lord. Recognize all the incredible things he does. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you for listening to Word and Table. We'll be back again next week for more on liturgy, sacrament, and the great tradition of Christian worship. Thanks for listening.